This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer. This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The records are stunning, and they continue to stun the American people, and particularly those who have supported the Make America Great movement, MAGA. MAGA slams Donald Trump after he claims Obama and Clinton created the Epstein files. Furious fans are demanding an answer over betrayal. Well, that's what's happening here in America today, even as our president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is seeking to do major things in the Middle East, seeking to do major things with regard to Ukraine, with regard to Russia, all over the world. He seems to be having a fantastic effort, making his promises come true, except for one. And that is coming clean with regard to the matter of Jeffrey Epstein. And there it is, friends. We must talk about it again. Yes, we must talk about it. Even though Donald Trump says, no, we can't talk about it. We must not talk about it because nobody cares, he said. Well, if nobody cares, then why is there such an eruption within his base? If nobody cares, we have to ask our question. Here's the real question. Why does Mr. Trump think that nobody cares? That's really the question. Why does our president think that nobody cares? Now, maybe you don't care. Maybe there are reasons why you think you don't care because there are other things you care more about. But then the question is, why do you care more about them? You see, we have to be willing to answer and ask a whole lot of rhetorical questions before we can really have an honest conversation concerning the matter of Jeffrey Epstein and the documents that supposedly were to be released. I say supposedly were to be released. Yes, indeed, supposedly were to be released. In the second portion of the program here today, we will hear from the president's own attorney on February 27th of this year. The president's own attorney, in an interview with Piers Morgan. And what you hear will help you to understand better why there is such an uprising. And can you just put down an uprising because, by saying nobody cares and by throwing out all kinds of spurious accusations? Well, this is just another Russia, 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 or this is just another whatever. No, you can't do that. That's what the Democrats have always done. But the Trump administration promised complete transparency, performance, clear, unadulterated performance to keep the word. You say, well, hasn't that been what Mr. Trump has been doing, keeping his word? Well, yes, until now. Yes, until now. What happens when something that is a perceived relative insignificance becomes the big issue to upset everything else that is good? And is there any way to avoid it? I believe there is. It's called transparency. It's called coming clean. And so Elon Musk, in the last couple of days, has said to his former head, Donald Trump, let the documents out. Let them all out. Why not? Why would Mr. Trump not want to let all the documents out? We have to ask these questions. What is there about them that he fears or is concerned might upset the apple cart of his agenda? And if there is anything there, wouldn't it be better to preempt it and come out ahead of it than to allow it to fester and foster and create political pus that will explode across the nation and perhaps the world? That's what we want to look at here today on Viewpoint. And as I've considered this, I think the real issue is pragmatism versus principle. And nobody's talking about that. You see, until you can look at the situation honestly and figure out what really is the problem here, why the difference in viewpoints? The difference in viewpoints here on this issue has to do with two words, pragmatism versus principle. And so we need to answer the question, what is pragmatism and what is principle? So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms. Here on the desk today is a series of probably a dozen different articles, not only in America, but all over the world, dealing with this issue. Believe it or not, the Hindu Times, over there in India, they're talking about this. And Trump says nobody cares? Oh, yes, the world does care, friends. And this is a reflection on truth. This is a reflection on whether or not there's integrity at the very heart of the MAGA movement and of the Trump administration. This is a test. That's what it is. It's a test. It's a test of truth. It's a test of whether or not the Trump administration, given all of the wonderful things that had been done so quickly, historically, and having his life saved there, which he just celebrated yesterday. But for what reason? Was his life celebrated and saved just to accomplish some pragmatic issues, to do some things, or is there an even bigger picture? And that is that his life was saved to prove that an administration could deal truthfully, with integrity, and still accomplish those things, trusting God to do it. That's really the issue, isn't it? Do you know, if quite honestly, that it's not just Donald Trump and President Trump and his administration that have to deal with this? Every pastor in America has to deal with exactly the same issue, and does. And not always that successfully. If it were that successful, then the 11 major ministries in Dallas, outside Dallas, Texas, over the past year that have lost their heads, that is, their ministries have collapsed in disgrace. These are some of the largest, most respected ministries in America and the world. How did it happen, friends? I'll tell you how it happened, because they did not discern accurately between pragmatism and principle. They forfeited principle in favor of pragmatism. And sometimes pragmatism is sold as a wonderful Christian biblical view. Because, as we say in America, if it works, it must be right. If it works, it must be true. And that's the test. So even an awful lot of people who theologically fight against works as opposed to salvation by grace and faith will rely upon pragmatism, which is works, to accomplish the gospel purpose rather than wait upon God. And they will use other means, alternative means, to accomplish the agenda of supposedly doing the work of Christ. You say, boy, this is all kind of confusing. Well, we're going to try to unfold this in a way that can be understood. I hope you'll stay tuned. Pragmatism versus principle. When what you don't know will hurt you.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
When what you don't know will hurt. They say that if you don't know it, it won't hurt. What you don't know won't hurt you. Not true. Because eventually it's going to come out, and when it comes out, it will hurt even more so. Let's suppose that you have a cancerous growth somewhere in your organs, and you don't know about it. Well, it's not hurting you, right? You haven't received the symptoms of it. You haven't been bothered by it in particular. So you're not concerned about it. So you want to go on about life. You want to go out business as usual, and you can't blame somebody for that. You don't even know what's there. So you go into the doctor for your regular test, your regular checkup, and he goes through the motions. She goes through the motions, and you get your blood test. You do all these things, and it doesn't show that particular problem because the nature of the investigation was not deep enough. In other words, it was a cursory look at your health. It wasn't a real look. It was a cursory look that if something just happened to show up, fine. If not, it's business as usual. We'll just press on. Well, how about in 6 months or a year when you start feeling the symptoms of that cancerous growth and you go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm feeling all this. Didn't we have this checkup? Didn't we have... Well, yes, but we didn't check for that. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We didn't do... In other words, the doctor wasn't all that interested in probing more deeply into the situation because, well, it wasn't convenient, and there just wasn't enough evidence, supposedly, and we just don't want to get into the weeds, and we don't want to trouble you with something, so we're just going to go through protocol and then wash it up as we did our job and move on. But now you're not feeling too good about it. Now you're realizing, hey, shouldn't that have been discovered? Now, what are the consequences if it isn't discovered? Well, maybe there's some treatment that you can apply. But what if the doctor says, you know what, I wouldn't be concerned about that. That's not that big a deal. Nobody really cares about that. And it's not going to trouble you that much. So he does nothing, or she does nothing, doesn't prescribe anything, doesn't take real interest in probing into why this condition is existing in your body that shouldn't be there. But you go on oblivious. But there comes a moment in time when you can no longer be oblivious, because what you didn't know is going to hurt. And it's going to hurt profoundly, and it might kill you. The same thing is true with what's going on with the Epstein situation in the Trump administration. Now, I'm not against the Trump administration per se. I voted for Donald Trump. I feel like he's done a tremendous job. He's certainly not a perfect man. And whether or not he's a true follower of Jesus Christ, I'm not here to judge. So he did come out today and said that he's going to do more to protect religious freedom in America than the nation has seen in a very long time. But then he's here to protect all religions, he said. So that's neither here nor there. What we're talking about here today is this issue of pragmatism versus principle. Now, some people might say, well, that's just too technical, or you're just spinning words. No, it's not just spinning words. Because if you were to read the Psalms, you would find that David, who is said to be a man after God's own heart, says this several times. Judge me according to my integrity. Judge me according to the integrity of my heart. Now, what is integrity? Integrity is the connection proving the link between what you say you are or believe and how you live, the decisions you make. In other words, integrity proves whether or not you're a person of principle or just a person of pragmatism. So, is Mr. Trump going to prove that he is a man, a president of integrity now? He wants you to believe that because he says, look what I've been doing. I've done more in 6 months than most have done in 100 years, he just said. Okay, maybe that's true. Certainly has done a lot. And he's been an amazing crusader. He's accomplished tremendously, no question. But on what basis has he accomplished it? Would you be interested to know? Pragmatism. That's his whole approach. Pragmatism. His approach and why he gets so many things done is not because so much he's a matter of principle, because he is a man of pragmatism. He works. He gets things done. He thinks in his mind, whatever it takes to accomplish this particular goal, that's what we're going to do. All right? So if it takes more tariffs, then that's what we're going to do. If it takes bombing Iran, that's what we're going to do. If it takes cutting off support for NATO, then that's what we're going to do. And that's why he's been so effective. He's been so effective because from his viewpoint, see, that's what we're talking about here, viewpoint. From his viewpoint, power is might. And money is power. And so he knows how to use financial matters to bring pressure to bear to accomplish pragmatic goals. In other words, things that he perceives need to happen or get done. Now, it's possible that in pushing those things, he's willing to run over principles to get there. In other words, kind of use the motto, might makes right. Now, we're not going to go too deeply into that because these are just phrases. Might makes right. There's a reason why we think that, or that's a phrase, and that's because there's a lot of truth in it. But it's not the whole truth, because might doesn't always make right. If that were true, then Jesus would never have been crucified, right? Because he was powerful. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He hung there on the cross alone because that was the principled power that was necessary to save you and me, not being delivered from the cross. But you see, from Donald Trump's viewpoint, it's more like, well, shouldn't he have been saved? I mean, after all, he was the Son of God. Shouldn't he have been saved? See, that was the Apostle Peter's viewpoint. Remember that? The Apostle Peter's viewpoint? Jesus was trying to tell his disciples toward the end of his ministry that he was going to have to, he was going to suffer, and the world was going to come against him, and he would be lifted up on the cross, and Peter rebuked him. He said, no, not you, Lord. No way. You're our master. You're the Christ. And Jesus said, well, on that rock, I'm going to build my church. Not the rock of Peter, the rock of the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Messiah. On that rock, I will build my church. That was a principle. So Jesus responded to Peter, and he said, you know what, Peter? You do not savor the things that be of God, but of man. Get behind me, Satan. Wow. What Jesus was saying there is, Peter, you miss the principle. You're in favor of pragmatism. That's your worldview. That's how you see things, and I understand that, but it's not right, and it's contrary to God's plan, purpose, and power. God's power is not reflected necessarily the way man sees it. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God, right? Okay, all that having been said, we only have 55 minutes in order to present some of these things, and so we want to hear as quickly as we can from Helena Haba, President Trump's attorney on February 27th. Interviewed. Here she is.
Jeffrey Epstein files, we're told, are to be imminently.
Well, so we thought. Here she was. We'll give it another shot after this next break. All right. We go further to lay the groundwork now, a little bit historic. If you missed the program we did last week, we need to kind of lay this a little further. A lot of people aren't necessarily keeping up to date with this. The unveiling Epstein saga. Not often does Donald Trump's own fully dedicated MAGA base drag him to the ground. But despite this, the president in office achieved what appeared to be impossible on Saturday when he claimed that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were responsible for creating the Epstein files, thus cutting off some of his most loyal backers. That's what he did. That's the Democrat approach, friends. It was totally dishonest. Clinton Obama didn't create that. So he's puffing. He's trying to cast the blame. He's trying to disperse. He's trying to divert attention. And when you divert attention like that, destiny ultimately is going to come and bite you. Donald Trump set up a babbling defense of Attorney General Pam Bondi, whose name was just recently connected to the ever-present Jeffrey Epstein saga. Many MAGA advocates, Make America Great Again advocates, continued and accused Bondi of lying about what she said was a client list after the Department of Justice released a 10-hour video and an official report establishing Epstein's 2019 death to be an act of suicide despite conspiracy theories. But Donald Trump wasn't having it. He praised Pam Bondi's fantastic job and blasted selfish people for defecting from his perfect administration. That's the word he used, his perfect administration, writing, "What's going on with my boys and gals?" In other words, we got this thing all together. We're riding the top of the mountain here. Why would you even pay any attention to this? Don't allow yourself to be diverted by this little petty ante issue of Epstein. What he doesn't realize is it ain't no petty ante issue. It goes to the very heart of whether he can be trusted. That's the real issue. The shocking announcement that the entire Epstein file had been faked by him, saying that it had been faked, came next, along with references to Russia, 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 the Steele dossier, and, of course, the laptop from hell. Why would he mention any of those things? It has nothing whatsoever to do with this issue. Nothing. So what is he trying to do? Divert attention. He's doing exactly the same thing that the Democrat Party historically does when faced with an issue. Typically, a thick barrier of online loyalty MAGA fans broke out in frustrated response. One user cautioned, "You promised us, sir. Putting your MAGA base down is not going to make this go away. You are losing too many in your base. You need to listen to us." As many pointed out, Donald Trump's campaign before he retook office as president in January 2025 promised honestly regarding Epstein's influential connections. His alleged defenses of Bondi was now seen as an act of betrayal. Friends, do you have any idea what betrayal feels like? David felt betrayal by his own trusted counselor, Ahithophel. Two of his sons betrayed him and tried to have him cast out of the kingdom and put to death. Jesus' closest friend, or one of his disciples, Judas, betrayed him. Betrayal is horrible. Donald Trump doesn't see what the people feel because he's got an agenda. It's a pragmatic agenda. Look, I'm accomplishing this, that, or the other. Don't get in my way. But he doesn't realize there's something more fundamental than pragmatism, and that's principle. When you forfeit principle in favor of pragmatism, you are going to pay a price. Pastors pay a price every time they do it. We could spend an entire hour going across the country and sharing stories of how pastors have elevated pragmatism over principle and found the results were devastating. Some of them completely lost their ministries. They fell in disgrace because they thought the most important thing was to get a job done rather than to be the one who righteously did the job and trust God to do it the right way. One Truth Social user bluntly said, "Promises made, promises broken." Yet Trump still says nobody cares about it. Really? Then what's all the noise about? We'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Well, it's quite amazing that the wonderful tape that I had prepared for you, for some reason, even though I listened to it, it's coming across as empty. Sounds an awful lot like what's happening there in Washington with Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, and the head of the FBI and the assistant head of the FBI saying, oh, there's no client lists. There are no client lists. There's nothing here. There are no names that we need to be considering. This is all just a bunch of conspiracy theories. Really? Well, that's not what they said before. That's not what they said before. Now, rumors circulate that the top FBI officials, Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, were making moves to step down due to Pam Bondi's poor management. Of the scenario, as if the conspiracy furnace wasn't already hot enough. In his last post of the day, President Trump concurred with the same feeling, saying, let Pam Bondi do her job. She's great. Let's keep, not waste time and energy on Jeffrey Epstein, somebody that nobody cares about. But if the response from a section of the MAGA base is anything to go by, Donald Trump might just want to consider that final statement and revise it. Because one of his former greatest allies has come out now and said, if this isn't corrected, if Mr. Trump and his administration doesn't come clean on this issue, release the documents, completely, without reservation, let the chips fall where they may. If that does not happen, we're going to lose in the midterm elections. Going to lose. Some have said we could lose as much as 40% of the House just because of a willingness to hide, to run and hide rather than come clean. You just can't, there's only so far you can run, friends. You can run, but you can't hide. Ultimately, that which is done in private is going to be shouted from the housetops. Dozens of minor girls reported similar sexual assault to the one that has filed the big case with against Epstein. And let's see here. Authorities eventually permitted the financier to plead guilty in 2008 to a charge of involving only one victim. He served 13 months in a prison work release program. Epstein's downfall came along as the survivor testimonies revealed a culture of manipulation and abuse. His former glamour later served as the cautionary tale, prompting a reassessment of structures enabling exploitation and demanding accountability for the powerful. That's where the problem lies, friends. Some people say, well, this is a two-tier justice system. I disagree. That's not what this is about. This is about principle versus pragmatism. You can call it whatever you want. Yes, it might be a two-tier justice system. But the real issue is, are you going to be a person or administration of principle or pragmatism? Are you going to sweep that which is of moral defilement and that which would completely poison your administration under the rug to try to pretend how great you are? Or are you going to come clean and allow the chips to fall where they may, allow God to come in and do what he will if we will do what he wants? In other words, come clean and walk with integrity. The records provoke an unprecedented glimpse into the shadowy world of Jeffrey Epstein. The testimonies of survivors detail a haunting narrative of abuse, offering a raw and unfiltered look into the traumatic experiences endured by those allegedly victimized by Epstein, making everyone question the power of an influential and political web of connections to do crime. Notice, the power of an influential and political web of connections to do crime. Oh, so is that really the bottom line? No. The bottom line is, are we a people of principle or pragmatism? If we're a people of principle, we will get to the heart of the matter and let it all hang out, as they used to say in the 1970s. If we're not willing to let it all hang out, then you have no idea how far this may drag the Trump administration down, not only in the estimation of the American people and his supporters, but also in the estimation of the world. What's at stake? First of all, what's at stake is integrity in the heart. That's what God desires. He also desires truth in the inward heart. We talked about that last week. God desires truth in the inward part. He is more interested in principle and truth than he is in pragmatism and works. If we're going to do the works of the Lord, the Lord's way, we have to do it with integrity, honesty, and truth. If we don't, it will come back to bite us. Now, at the center of the sordid tale is Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's confidant and alleged accomplice, and she was sentenced to 20 years in prison. On the other hand, she is saying, I'm not guilty. You used me as the fall person, but I'm not the guilty one. Let me testify before Congress, she said. Oh, now wait a minute. Would our president and our Republican congressman and senators, will they be willing to have Ghislaine Maxwell testify before Congress in open court before the American people to unfold whatever might be hidden? Oh, we wouldn't let that happen? Oh, we're going to put it in a time capsule just like we did with JFK so that nobody will really find out the skullduggerous activities that came to the assassination of our president in 1963. You see the problem? The JFK assassination hovers over this country to this day because of the lack of integrity even in the so-called investigations. Investigations are meaningless unless they pursue truth. And many of these investigations are not designed to pursue truth, but are designed to create cover-ups, to find ways to hide, because the idea is nobody cares. The idea is, what difference does it make? A la Hillary Clinton. What difference does it make? It makes a whole lot of difference, friends. If it doesn't make any difference, then why does the Bible say that we should confess, if you will confess your sin, God, in his mercy, will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if you will not confess your sin, if you will not come clean, he won't forgive. He has nothing to forgive. There's nothing he can do to protect you because you are not cooperative. You are not willing to fall on his mercy. You're just not. That's one of the reasons, friends, why we have so many people in our churches today who are not true Christians. They call themselves Christians. They say they love the Lord, and they're going to church, and they're clapping their hands or whatever, but they've never confessed. They never come clean before God. Why? Well, it's too painful. Well, nobody cares. Well, I just am who I am. Well, God knows my heart. All those kinds of excuses, things that we throw up. Smoke screens. But God makes it very simple. Confess your sin. Don't make excuses about it. Don't say, but this and but that and but him and there. We got so many buts in the church. Big buts. We're filled with big buts. And in our country as well. This, my friends, is a magnificent parable that we're seeing here to help God's people come to grips with the issue of what it means to live by principle and truth. And what the consequences are if we don't. It can destroy a whole country. It can destroy a whole administration that otherwise seemed to be on top of the world. The names revealed in court records were submitted in support of complainant Virginia Guffrey's case against Ghislaine Maxwell. The big names of the documentation included Bill Clinton, Naomi Campbell, Victoria's Secret boss Les Wexner, the late artificial intelligence pioneer Marvin Minsky, the late New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, Leonardo DiCaprio, etc. In 2019, a court released almost 2,000 pages. In 2020, 2021, and 2022, more records were also made available. There were also bold-faced names of notable persons who have previously connected with Epstein, but whose interactions with him have been widely documented elsewhere. Meanwhile, Clinton, who hailed Epstein as a committed philanthropist through exposed person in 2002, denied knowing anything about his criminal activities, even though Clinton himself was of the very same ilk as Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, before Congress, under oath, I did not have sex with that woman. Remember that? Recently, unearthed video footage circulating from 1992 shows Mr. Trump welcoming Epstein to his Mar-a-Lago estate with the two men laughing and pointing during a party, inviting public scrutiny and questioning the relationship and political connections of the former. Am I contending that somehow our president is tied up to his gills with Jeffrey Epstein? No. He had those contacts. Why? I don't know. What was the affinity that brought them together? Birds of a feather tend to flock together for some reason. I don't know. But what we do know is something isn't right here. And it's being hidden. And that's why the problem of lack of trust. Trust is everything, friends. And that's what God wants from you and from me. If only we'll trust him.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint, friends. We're talking about the difference between principle and pragmatism as it relates to the Epstein issue the unfolding saga or drama, Unveiling Epstein's Saga. This is coming from an article, the title, Unveiling Epstein's Saga, which brings me back to the word apocalypse. The word apocalypse means the unveiling. So what we're seeing here is a political apocalypse, an unveiling. And if the unveiling is not completed, that which is lurking in the darkness will poison the rest of the Trump administration and the country and maybe the world. And we have no idea. It's like a domino effect. When this begins to take place and people lose trust, then they lose hope. And then they don't know where to go. And that really, people want to call it a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory, friends. Look, nature abhors a vacuum. And if you don't fill the vacuum of lack of information and facts with the truth, people are going to form their own viewpoints. You can call it speculation. You can call it guessing. You can call it surmising. Or you can call it a conspiracy theory. By calling it a conspiracy theory, you're essentially name-calling and saying, don't consider any of this. It's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. It's not irrelevant at all. Will Congress allow Ghislaine Maxwell to come and blow the lid off Epstein files and pedophile network? Did you know that there are those in Congress now that are saying, okay, we need to come clean. This needs to happen. Let's get it done. Here's an article just came out today. Let's get it done. Member of Congress plots to force the vote requiring Pam Bondi to release Epstein files. Wow. Why don't they want to do it? What is it that they're afraid of? Are there particular friends in power, perks, position, power, political power, financial power, people that would kill in order to protect these things from coming out? Is that what happened to Jeffrey Epstein there in prison? Killed so as to quiet down, make it so his story could never come out? But what if Ghislaine Maxwell were brought out of prison? What if under penalty of perjury, she was given the opportunity to testify, which, by the way, this very day, the Supreme Court is supposed to be considering an appeal that she has out there, claiming she should not even be in prison. Maybe, just maybe, we've been able to bring up this report from 2025, February 27th. Let's see if we've got it. And maybe not. It's the most amazing thing. And I'm not going to waste more time trying to bring it up. Quite amazing. All right. So here we are. We're at the end of the road here in our conversation concerning this matter of principle versus pragmatism. People will use all kinds of different ways of looking at things. And it's not to fault people. It's not a matter of fault. It's a matter of going to the bottom line. Usually people are not willing to go to the bottom line on issues. Sometimes they don't know how. Sometimes it's too scary. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that God desires truth in the inward parts. Period. God had to force the issue on his servant David, who was involved in a sexual tryst with Bathsheba, forced her to commit adultery, he committed adultery, then lied about it, then covered it up, then brought her husband Uriah from the army back into Jerusalem to have sex with his wife, or thinking that he would, so as to protect David from any hint that he would be accused of being the father of a child born to Bathsheba. But Uriah refused to do so. He was too honorable. He was a man of principle. He said, how can I possibly do that when my brethren out there in the army have no such privileges? I cannot do it. He slept outside. He refused to go in unto his wife. And now David's in even worse trouble. Because now people will realize he didn't do that. He didn't go in there. Uriah didn't father that child. So now I got to get rid of Uriah. So he can't say, I didn't go in there. So he sends a note to Joab, the head of his army, in the hands of Uriah, and says, put this man in the hottest place of the fire where people are almost certain to be killed. Because the sword will devour whoever it will. That was David's rationale. And that's exactly what Joab did. He obeyed his commander-in-chief. Not for principle, but for pragmatism. If he had been a man of principle, he wouldn't have done it. But he wasn't. He was a man of pragmatism, just as David was at that point. So God had to do something profound to rectify the situation. If David was going to be the one, the man after God's own heart, was going to be the one that God himself would ordain that his Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, would sit on his throne, something had to be done to rectify this problem. And here's what God did. He brought a prophet by the name of Nathan and gave him a story, like a little parable, about a sheep and what people did, what a leader did with regard to the sheep and so on, the people. And the story was so gripping that David was infuriated when Nathan told him the story. David thought it was a real story, but it wasn't. It was a story about him. So when David responded in fury that that person, that leader, should be killed for what he did, Nathan took all risk in his hand for principle, not pragmatism, because he could have been killed on the spot. And he pointed his finger at David and he said, thou art the man. You're the guy. This isn't about somebody else, Mr. David. This is about you, King of Israel. And what would God do to Donald Trump today? Would he do the same? Would there be a pastor? Would there be certainly not any in his cadre of people that are courting him for pragmatism because they get powerful references and notoriety for it? It might take somebody else that has the boldness, the courage, and the calling by God to go like Nathan the prophet and say, thou art the man. Come clean. I don't think even Billy Graham would have done that because he was too interested in currying political favor with people. It would take somebody to say, in love, but in courage, thou art the man. It's time to be a person of principle. If you really want to please God, if you really want God to bless your administration, if you really, really, really believe that God has called you and saved you for such a time as this, that we just celebrated yesterday, 1 year since the attempted assassination, and he says, I believe God saved me to accomplish his purposes and bring change to our country. Okay. I'm not going to disagree with that. I believe that very well is probably true. So now what? David was saved from a lot of things. David was saved from Goliath. He was saved from the lion. He was saved from a whole lot of things. He was saved. But he wasn't saved when he decided to operate in pragmatism rather than principle and to do things that were contrary to the word, will, and ways of God and did not act with integrity. And God had to bring him to charge, and he had a choice. David could have said, you're out of here, Nathan. Called his sword bearer to come and thrust Nathan through with the sword. But instead, he humbled himself, and he cried out in Psalm 51, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, so that sinners might be converted unto you. That's the response that we need. You say, well, you know, why does anybody care about all this from Donald Trump? I guess you just don't have a clue about the meaning of the difference between pragmatism and principle then, even after listening to this program. Because God desires truth and principle and integrity in our innermost being. That's why David said later, judge me according to my integrity. In other words, the alignment of my professed ways and how I live and conduct myself. Judge me according to my integrity. So I ask you a question. Would you ask the same question of God today? Really, I'm serious about it. Would you ask the same question? I mean, in a sense, it's almost terrifying. Even when I come across that in reading the Psalms several times, David says this, and it caused me to kind of jerk. Judge me according to my integrity, Lord. The problem is, we say, God knows my heart. That's exactly the problem. He does know our heart. And if we don't confess and come clean before him, like Donald Trump and his administration needs to do, I don't know what the culpability is between Donald Trump and Pam Bondi and Bongino and Patel and all of those. Are they doing their own thing? It's hard for me to believe that Pam Bondi is attorney general, Patel and Bongino are doing their own thing up there and making their own ideas and decisions not to disclose any of these things. I cannot believe that Donald Trump has not given the authority or go ahead to do that. And if that be true, then he is the one that is culpable, because they're just doing his bidding. Like his Christian spokesperson, who is so eloquent, the 27-year-old young lady. His spokesperson. What is she going to do? She wants to believe, she has to believe her boss, the commander-in-chief. But can he be believed? And now her integrity is on the line. And now Dan Bongino's integrity is on the line. And now Patel's integrity is on the line. And now Bondi's integrity is on the line. And now everybody else that speaks on the issue, their integrity is now on the line. Are you beginning to see how this works? It's like dropping a pebble in a pond and you think, nobody cares, it's just a little pebble. Now watch the concentric circles spread out. And they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going, until the whole pond cares. This is not a game, and this is not, it's simple, but it's not simplistic. The simple truth is, we must be people of principle, not pragmatism. Just saying that something works does not make it right. Let's do what the works are, because it is right. Pray for our president. Pray for all that are involved here. Is there going to be a house cleaning of people, or a spiritual cleaning from the inside out, so that the hearts will be cleansed and the nation perceived and protected? That's my viewpoint, friends. You may have yours, but that's my viewpoint. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. It's very tough to do what we do here on this program, but the nation is necessarily needing it, because we're on the cusp of the future.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a